Welcome to the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. Thank you for joining us. Glad to have you with us. Glad to have you hearing what we're going to walk through today. My name is Bob Griswold.
Mary Griswold.
Pat Park.
Kim Fink.
Glenn Fink.
And again, welcome everybody. We're going to head off to the wilds of, what did you say, Mary? There's an item about...
The State Department has made it clear it will not participate in the UN's two-state solution conference.
Now, what is a two-state solution?
Well, let's talk about two states. The two states are Israel and, quote, Palestine, unquote. The Gaza Strip was essentially a Palestinian state. And the money that was given to the people in the Gaza Strip was used to build tunnels and buy arms.
Well, when you say a Palestinian state, and the Palestinian, it was a Palestinian area, and Hamas took it over, and that goes back to who was a...
Well, that's why their election, the last leader that they elected was elected for a two-year term. And I believe at last count, he had been in office 6 or 7 years. So they weren't operating as a state. They were operating as a group of mafia thugs.
And they as the group of thugs, their objective is to destroy the state of Israel.
Yes, they were training their kids in
their stated objective.
Kindergarten to be martyrs. It was in their charter that they were going to destroy Israel.
Yeah, it's like in the first sentence.
If you want a two-state solution, you are setting up a perpetual state of war.
So the two-state solution says the first thing we as a new state want to do is to attack our neighbor.
Now, in 2005, Israel totally withdrew from the Gaza Strip, and the IDF actually forced Israeli residents out of that area. And they left an infrastructure of greenhouses for the people who took over the area to use to generate money and income and to support their culture and society.
And to eat.
Yes. And they immediately destroyed those greenhouses, used the irrigation tubes to create rocket tubes, and destroyed their way of supporting themselves. There is nothing that indicates that they will behave any better if they're given their own state. They've already had their own state, and we saw how that worked. We have the choice of learning the lessons of history or ignoring them totally.
It's probably just the beginning of a bigger agenda if they're successful with the one step. What makes us think that they won't try to do more or claim more area?
Well, October 7th should prescribe them from ever asking for citizenship.
I agree.
Yes, that wasn't even warlike. That was an attack on civilians for no apparent reason.
Well, it's kind of amazing when you read the paper and you see how people have railed against Israel in support of Hamas in the first place. Doesn't make any sense.
No. And the IDF has been very careful to avoid civilian casualties when Hamas has been using civilians as shields. So it's a totally unequal situation. And unfortunately, the EU has chosen to support the wrong side.
Again.
As usual.
Europe.
And we've seen where Israel is making sure that supplies do in fact come into
Gaza,
but the supplies
are primarily food.
Food aid, but it's not getting distributed.
It's coming from Egypt, but Hamas is stealing it.
Right, yes. It's not being distributed.
It's being confiscated and not being distributed. It's being
because
sold off.
Because if they can control the food, they can control the population, and Hamas is about control. Now, I have read things that the residents of Gaza want to be free from Hamas. But, of course, if they say that out loud, they're going to be dead.
And we're not sure when you say the residents, because many of those residents are being trained, as young children, are being trained to arm themselves with the specific purpose of eliminating Israel.
Yes.
Well, being martyrs.
Being martyrs, yeah.
Yes.
It's sad.
And then, and as we talk about this, if you quickly change hats and go to New York City and you see who is leading in the potential mayor's race in New York City, and watch this
statements, what he says.
The statements of this
Zohran Mamdani.
Thank you. Statements from him about how he wants to destroy our society as it exists in New York.
And keep in mind that currently he is in Uganda in a very fortified area with security detail. But yet he doesn't want the police to be around in New York. He wants social workers.
Yeah, well, they don't have any social workers guarding the Uganda.
Well, he is.
They have the special forces.
He is the child of millionaires.
Well, he's a hypocrite is what he is.
But, I mean, he just spent over $250,000 on his wedding.
More than that. He spent a quarter of a million at the three-day bash in Dubai.
But he's
But then he went home and spent another $100 million.
Oh, okay.
But $100 million.
A lot of money.
If he's so concerned,
it was a bunch of money.
If he's so concerned about the poor, why doesn't he use some of that money to set up housing for them or to do something like that?
Well, I would say that that's a universal question for the Hollywood elite as well as some of the other.
Forget what Margaret Thatcher said. Socialism only works until you run out of other people's money.
That's right.
Yes, and unfortunately that's true. I want to make one more comment about the two-state solution, and that's a quote by a man by the name of Waleed Shubat, who shows up on TV periodically. And he made the comment that one night in 1967, he went to bed, and he was a Jordanian. And the next morning when he woke up, he was told he was a Palestinian. The Palestinian have no legal right to any of the land that they are claiming. And the areas that they are claiming were owned or governed at one point by Jordan. And nobody complained when it was Jordan. The only reason they're complaining right now is because it's Israel.
Wouldn't you just know that it was France that first, in Europe, that first proposed recognizing Palestine as a state?
Well, somebody posted a meme that said they ought to give them a piece of the French Riviera and call it.
Well, because the
quote, Frankenstein. That was what they were going to call it. Frankenstein.
Because nobody has actually declared where Palestine should be. Put it in France.
And there's enough Arab land in the Middle East. I mean, Israel is a postage stamp. The Arabs have the rest of the land. Part of the problem too is the fact that after the Turkish Empire, after the Ottoman Empire collapsed, the British and the Americans got together. I don't know if the Russians were involved or not. And they drew the lines of the countries in the Middle East. They had no knowledge of the ethnic groups. They had no knowledge of cultures. They had no knowledge of where those lines should be. And that's why we still have the mess with the Kurds. And that's why we have ethnic groups within countries that are not in alignment with the countries they're in.
The Druze are in Syria.
Yeah, so the problem goes back to the end of World War I.
And Lebanon.
Yeah. So, you know, the Kurds should have been given their homeland. The Druze should have been given a bit. But none of this was paid attention to.
You know, I'm going to bring up a quote that I have. And it's from that great internationally recognized politician, Groucho Marx. Politics is the art of looking for trouble, finding it everywhere, diagnosing it incorrectly, and applying the wrong remedies.
That's the Middle East. That's also America right now, but that's the Middle East.
Well, I think it's applicable to talk about the ad that is getting so much controversy right now with the
American jeans.
Yes, with the jeans.
American Eagle jeans.
Yeah, you reminded me of that with your quote, Bob, because, you know, they're talking about jeans as in clothed jeans, and she's doing the tongue-in-cheek genes, you know, heredity genes, but all these people are looking for the problem that doesn't exist there. They're looking for the racist.
Yeah.
That underlying thing, yeah, that isn't there.
But, you know, I don't own a pair of American Eagle jeans, but I think I'm going to go look for some.
I own a couple. They're very comfortable.
Okay. Well, I think she's very pretty, and I would like to look like that in a pair of jeans.
I would, too.
But, you know, but that goes back to the old adage, sex sells. She's a very nice-looking young lady. You put her across the hood of a Mustang in her tight jeans.
It's Sydney Sweeney.
People are going to go buy the jeans.
Yeah, I couldn't remember her name. Sydney Sweeney, right?
She's been very popular for a couple of years now because of her boobs.
Oh, I didn't notice her boobs. I was looking at the jeans.
I didn't either.
He didn't notice the jeans.
Okay, now that we've got into a PG-13 rated
trouble,
show,
that's right.
Something happened this week with tariffs and the European Union. Another victory for President Trump.
Well, you know, I think one of the things, the European Union and Trump with tariffs, where did they have to go to sign this agreement?
They went to Scotland.
They went to Scotland to Trump-owned property, non-EU, non-EU property, to Trump-owned property to actually sign this agreement with Europe that everything they send to us is going to have a 15% tariff and everything we send to them, there is no tariff.
Yeah, it did talk about he was acting like the host. Instead of the
head of state, yeah.
Yeah. So that was neat.
There were complaints from the left over how much money Trump spent to go there to open up his golf course. Yeah, and how much taxpayer money it costs. And then the opposite side of it was, well, look how much money he brought back.
Yeah. And the thing is, America has one of the largest consumer markets in the world. And people want access to our markets. This is called economic leverage. And it is what Trump is a master at. And when we come back, I'm going to give you some numbers on the economy, the gross domestic product for the first quarter or for the second quarter. And some of the other numbers are very interesting. And they are the result of having a businessman sitting in the White House instead of a politician.
And is that the numbers that just came out today?
Yes.
Good.
Taking advantage
3%
of what
GDP.
Taking advantage of what Mary just said, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. This is CCT8 Wake Up Call.
Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Other restaurants claim their food is fresh and fast, but are they friendly? At Moore's, you're treated like family the minute you walk into their doors. With locations in Winterville, New Bern, Swansboro, Moorhead City, and Jacksonville, we've been practicing what we preach since 1945. At Moore's, our barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over real wood daily until it's so tender it's falling off the bone. Combined with our fresh chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade fixins, we're sure you'll agree. If it's not Moore's, it's less.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Welcome back again. Thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters, and thank you for staying with the show. Mary, you're going to bring up some numbers.
We're recording this on Wednesday, and CNBC reported some data on the economy today. The gross domestic product jumped 3% for the second quarter, better than the 2.3% estimate.
It jumped 2.3%.
Jumped 2.3%, okay.
Yeah.
Reversing a 0.5% decline in the prior period. Consumer spending rose 1.4%, better than 0.5% in the prior period. Now, exports declined 1.8%. Imports fell 30%. So we're ahead there. And private payrolls rose 104,000 for the month, reversing a loss in June. And the forecast was for an increase of 64,000. Wages rose at 4.4% for the month. Now, I don't know what inflation was for the month of June, but
2.7.
So that means that people net brought home more money, as opposed to during Biden, we were going down.
So when you said imports fell by how much?
Hang on.
33%, I think, is what you said.
Imports declined 30%, and exports declined 1.8%.
So now I'm going to represent the mainstream media. So are we going to have shortages if our imports declined that
no,
much?
No, we're going to learn how to make things ourselves.
So
it's going to take a little bit. And we may have to find some old deserting buildings and turn them into factories or something.
Government-owned grocery stores. Ask Mom Donnie. part of this fall could be explained by the public's whipsawing by the supposed mainstream media, which telling them tariffs are a tax on the consumer.
Going to kill the economy, yeah.
Yeah. So don't spend your money and who knows?
Well, we don't know what ships are out stuck in port that aren't coming in because of the tariff. You know, there might be ships waiting to pay their bill before they can unload. I don't know how that really works, but you get the point I'm trying to make.
So, one of the things that we notice when we go north to visit, and we take the Virginia Beach Bay Bridge Tunnel, and when the economy is in good shape, as you're going across the bridge and through the tunnels, you will see the tankers, the cargo ships lined up waiting to come into port. And during Biden, we didn't see them very much. And the times we've been up since Trump, we are seeing them again. So those are some of the things that are anecdotal, but those are some of the things you can look at.
I don't sense that the amount of shipping that we're receiving or bringing into port is down in a big way. I mean, that number that you're talking about, the imports are down so far, it might have been because people bought ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and there was
and there
a lot
was
of
a
that.
Swing in, yes. You know, they pre-bought so that.
But and so, whatever it is, we don't have shortages, though, right now.
That's
at least
correct.
We don't
we
see.
Have no, there's no lines anywhere trying to get a pair of jeans.
American Eagle jeans.
But we don't know where they're made.
Well, it could be that the imported cars, people
I'm gonna go check the
were afraid to buy a new car because of the tariffs.
Yeah.
Well, it... So what has happened with the Fed? Has the Fed done any correction on their interest rates?
They had a big meeting yesterday, no change.
And no change. So they're holding that. They're keeping the high interest rate, and temporarily, at least, the American public is ignoring that and just moving on, other than the fact that nobody can afford to buy a house now.
Yeah. I think there were two dissenters, which made news. Because there's only ever been one before, so that there were two is...
I didn't see any of that news, but was there any indication of a tendency to reduce rates in September? Did anyone catch that part of that news?
I haven't caught that. Reduce rates on what?
The Fed rate.
Oh.
He's under a lot of pressure, whether
no, Powell
or not,
is,
I don't know.
He's adamant. This is a personal thing between him and
Trump. Yeah, it wasn't July, but I've heard that September was, there's 66% chance that it's going to happen in September.
That's just forecast.
Well, I understand, but did he make a comment on it? Does anyone know if he commented on it?
No comment.
Okay,
no.
I have here a pair of American Eagle jeans, and they are made in Bangladesh.
Hmm. Interesting.
So that's that.
Okay,
and
so that's
corduroy.
The official.
Corduroy. I haven't seen corduroy pants in forever.
Now, she is from, Mary, we were up in the New England area for 45 years, so she has learned, she's adapted to the cold country. Even if it's 95 degrees down here, she's still adapted to the cold country.
Yeah, I brought my flannel-lined jeans with me when we moved. But so the economy looks really good. People are going back to work, and inflation is not eating up their income. It's going to take a while for people to recover from the last 4 years, because a lot of people went through their savings and everything else just to keep up. But to me, it looks like we're on a really good, solid track. The stock market is doing well. It would be nice to see the interest rates drop, because it would open up the housing market. Hopefully, we'll see that in September. That's a personal vendetta that is hurting the country.
And of course, I think everyone knows that, you know, Powell's short-term rates, they're not housing interest rates, but it does tend
it
to
impacts.
Have an effect
it
on
impacts.
It. So there's not a direct correlation.
The place where it really impacts is on our national debt.
Yes.
Because the interest on that debt now is one of the biggest items on the budget, and that's not a good place to be.
Because we keep buying short-term, we do short-term paper to continue to pay for that debt.
Which brings up a point that I picked up on the news yesterday, where up until, I don't know what it was, 8-10 years ago, no interest, the United States, the Fed didn't pay any interest on money in reserves that the banks own, and half of the money we're talking about is owned in foreign banks. So we're paying interest on it, and this is a change in the last decade.
Okay.
And it was a Fed sort of effect. So there is a lot of work going on to try to reverse that, because that's a good bit of money. It doesn't solve our national debt problem, but every billion or hundred of billions does have an effect on that. So that's a general.
Yeah, that's something to watch.
That's accurate generally, but I don't know the details behind it.
That's something to watch.
Speaking about the national debt, I heard last night that there's been a proposal to give a $600 rebate to every taxpayer because of the income coming from the tariffs. And I would rather see that money from the tariffs go to reduce national debt.
Yeah, Senator Hawley, what is he thinking?
Well, that we're overtaxed.
But it feels like pandering. It's here again, it's optics.
If they did that, I would want it only to go to the people who actually paid taxes. That would be my thing, because I believe we're overtaxed.
Well, that didn't happen with the other stimulus bills, so I wouldn't hold my breath on that.
Yeah, I do want to get into the habit of prioritizing paying the debt down. So, hey, they already are higher income against inflation. And all these things for this tax season is going to kick in. The reduced taxes on tips, the reduced taxes on overtime, the reduced taxes on Social Security, all those are going to be applicable for 2025. So I think people are getting enough. We got to start prioritizing that
getting
debt.
Rid of that debt.
And you look at also, I guess, because the student loan forgiveness is now not happening. So now people are going to have to start paying for their student loans. Now, apparently you cannot declare bankruptcy on a student loan.
No. Congress made that change.
And that will make a difference, too, because during the Obama administration, the federal government took over the student loans. So that debt is owed to the government. And that's part of that debt is part of something that needs to be paid back and legally is required to be paid back.
And we should reverse that action because that was dumb.
That was really dumb because if you put it in banks, they have some respect for knowing who's able to pay it back and who's not.
It's keep it closer to the private market. Don't governmentize it, or however you want to say that. Don't make it more governmental.
No, Milton Friedman said if you put the government in charge of the Sahara Desert, in 5 years you'd be out of sand.
Yes.
And I think there's some truth to that statement. They do not run anything well.
Well, we're still in the situation where when the government gives out a student loan, they don't give a darn whether you finish the degree or not. They just
keep or whether you can pay it back.
Or whether you pay
or
it
whether
back.
Whether your degree is an underwater basket
weaving.
Yeah,
and so I know that there was a thing going on with the colleges that were formed just to get student loan money and now make them feel the penalty of somebody not completing that degree program. Those schools need to feel that penalty when they're not helping a student.
Yeah, they need incentive to help the students graduate and to get jobs.
Where are we going now?
I want to go in a totally different direction.
Well, that's what we've been doing, yes.
I want to talk about the corporate average fuel economy standards.
CAFE.
Those are the CAFE standards. And those of us who like real cars, and we have a couple of those people at the table today.
Vroom, vroom.
In the big, beautiful bill, rather than go through the process of and the years required to overturn the CAFE standards, Congress simply changed the penalty. And the penalty to the auto companies, if they're not in line with the strict CAFE standards, is nothing. The mandate is still in place, but the penalty is nothing. So I want to go back to six-cylinder and eight-cylinder cars that go vroom. I want to get away from the electric Mustang that they have to electronically put the vroom in and get the engine that makes the right noise.
I know. I just bought a V8 turbo, and boy, does it sound sweet.
I know. I love my Mustang.
It does. It really does sound sweet. And we're running overtime, but that really, really sounds sweet. Folks, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. This is CCTA Wake Up Call.
What's the largest gun shop in Craven County? If you said East 70 Pond, you are correct. Since Drew got back from the most recent gun show, new guns have been pouring in faster than they can open the boxes. The large showroom at East 70 Pond, slam bam, full of firearms. New guns and used guns, long guns and handguns. You will find weapons for self-defense, hunting, target shooting, and collectibles. The team at East 70 Pond is friendly, courteous, and knowledgeable, especially in the area of guns. If East 70 Pond doesn't have the gun you are looking for, they'll try to find it. If you want to do a gun transfer, East 70 Pond will help you do it right. If you are looking to buy, sell, or trade a gun, there's no better place to do it than East 70 Pond. Of course, East 70 has tools, electronics, trolling motors, and a great selection of jewelry. But their specialty is guns. And we're talking hundreds of guns. Come see for yourself. East 70 Pond, across from Craven County Fairgrounds, New Bern.
Other restaurants claim their food is fresh and fast, but are they friendly? At Moore's, you're treated like family the minute you walk into their doors. With locations in Winterville, New Bern, Swansboro, Moorhead City, and Jacksonville, we've been practicing what we preach since 1945. At Moore's, our barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over real wood daily until it's so tender it's falling off the bone. Combined with our fresh chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade fixins, we're sure you'll agree. If it's not Moore's, it's less.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Welcome back again. Thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Pat, you wanted to take us in another direction?
Yeah, I want to talk about the Obama-appointed judge who just recently did a nationwide injunction against Supreme Court ruling.
A local judge making the nationwide.
Well, it's a district judge.
Yeah, district.
When you call them local, it's there's another tier below federal judge that is more local than federal judge. So I just want to make that clear. And they immediately ran to her, Planned Parenthood, and asked her to do an injunction against stripping the funding from Planned Parenthood. And she granted it, but there was no legal reasoning. Now she's made it permanent, and her legal reasoning is that this stripping out of Planned Parenthood is somehow a bill of attainder. And a bill of attainder goes back to the colonies. Great Britain used bills of attainder against our founding fathers who were, so they could punish them individually. And that was such a problem that the bill of the founding fathers put it in the Constitution. There's no bill of attainders. It's unconstitutional. So she's come up with Planned Parenthood. This is a bill of attainder against them and will not stand.
So Planned Parenthood is acting as if they're a person.
Well, she's acting as if they're a person.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So likewise, Boeing is a person.
Well, yeah, a corporation is a legal entity known as a person. They don't have all the rights of a living, breathing person, but they have rights under the law. Legal attainders are against people, living, breathing people. So her legal reasoning is really shaky. And it's a nationwide injunction.
But if the government holds the purse strings, she is not following the Supreme Court ruling that a district judge could not do any nationwide injunctions. So if the people that would be sending the money to Planned Parenthood just don't, they're in contempt of her court order, which I maintain her court order isn't legal. So I would just ignore her.
That calls for impeachment.
Why?
Of the president.
No.
Why?
Of the president. He's supposed to make sure that the laws are faithfully executed.
But she didn't write a law.
She blocked a law. He's going to have to appeal it.
I don't understand. It doesn't make sense to me.
A judge has a right to say that a law is unconstitutional.
But she didn't have the authority to do that based on the Supreme Court saying that no rulings could come.
Well, that's part of the ruling. But the other part is she still has grounds, she says, to find that it's unconstitutional. So the unconstitutional part has to go up on appeal.
So that's a new grounds that wasn't there before.
Well, Bill of Attainder is in the Constitution.
Well,
she somehow twisted everything around and said, here's where I'm going to hang my hat on Bill of Attainder. It's not going to stand. It's just going to gum up the works until a court over.
Well, I would just keep telling Planned Parenthood that their check's in the mail.
Yeah.
Well, the check doesn't go to Planned Parenthood. What she's blocking is that Congress blocked Medicaid and Medicare from paying for abortions. That money goes to Planned Parenthood. So they blocked abortion providers from being able to bill federal benefit programs.
That still seems like they could avoid paying it, though.
So the question, I guess, comes is if, based on this ruling from that judge, that district judge, if you did pay, and then the Supreme Court went and found the grounds were not valid.
Stupid.
Do you owe that money back?
Can you claw it back? Maybe. But that money's in the wind.
Well, we've seen places where money's been clawed back before, but it always hurts when it's clawed back.
Well, the Supreme Court's not in session.
Yeah.
And so there's no telling how long this is going to take to be overturned. And until then, that money is going to continue to be spent. So,
you know, there's also, as you said, Supreme Court's not in session, and they're coming up with all of these objections. I guess, now I'm trying to remember where it was, but the district court judges have usurped president. Control over the executive branch, and too often requiring the Supreme Court to intervene to stop the judicial insurrection.
Mm-hmm.
And the question is, when the Supreme Court gets involved, we, the public, really don't know their reasonings for stopping or supporting something.
Well, only if the Supreme Court decides that this is something that's important as a precedent. Otherwise, you're just slapping that particular court down.
But we may not fully understand the reason.
No, on an emergency petition like that, they don't always give a reason.
No, you got one or two sentences that everybody can twist any way they want.
Well, that's the Supreme Court's problem.
Yes.
So who has authority to impeach the district judge that's doing
Congress. So you can just mark that off your list.
Yeah, because you need a two-thirds majority in the Senate or something.
I don't know what the majority is, but the Democrats are never going to go for it. So it's just an exercise in futility.
Yes.
Although the Department of Justice just filed a complaint against Judge Boasberg. He's the guy that ordered the planes turned around because they were at a judicial conference, and he, who's chief judge of the D.C. Circuit, said that the D.C. Circuit judges as a whole felt like Trump was a we won't obey your legal orders guy, even though he's never refused to obey a legal order. But they felt that way. So they have a bias against him because there is a presumption when these things go to court that the government has operated in regularity, that they are doing what they're supposed to be doing. There's a presumption. So anybody that's challenging that has to overcome that presumption. Well, they're basically saying we don't recognize that presumption because it's Trump, TDS.
And I will say that Trump disobeyed one ruling when he didn't turn that plane around. The plane was already past the point of no return, I'm sure, but that's probably...
Well, that order was... That verbiage was not in his written order.
Oh, okay.
Dun, dun, dun.
Always something for drama.
Well, you know, I'm going to add in again, this is a squirrel or a rabbit hole or something like that. If you remember back to when President Trump was shot back in July last year, and now we're hearing about a reporter that is reporting PTSD because he didn't like the way Trump supporters were looking at him.
Right, right. He had PTSD. He had to take medication because they all looked like they wanted to kill him.
Aww.
You did this, he claimed they were saying to him.
Poor baby.
So that's a little bit
crazy.
And he's
not even embarrassed to say that on TV.
Poor baby.
Hi, I'm a weenie.
I was going to say, that's called chutzpah.
It's called weeniehood. Weeniness.
I'll take toxic masculinity any day.
Again, for everybody out there, chutzpah is the Yiddish word that defines the person that kills his parents and then goes to the court pleading that he's an orphan.
Hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. It's like saying the nerve of that guy.
Yes, the nerve of that guy.
I want to talk about something. Again, this is Wednesday when we're recording this. There's an article at Fox News and on the Gateway Pundit that FBI Director Kash Patel found thousands of Russian collusion hoax documents in burn bags in a secret room at the FBI headquarters.
Define a burn bag.
A burn bag is where you put classified things that you want to have burned and destroyed.
Let me...
You're going to add to that.
I'm going to add to that because I worked in a classified environment. We don't have garbage cans in the classified environment. So every receptacle is a burn bag, and it's marked with the highest classification of what's supposed to go in there. And there's supposed to be a burn detail every day. At the end of the day, they gather up all the burn bags, put new ones out, and they're supposed to burn them.
So they don't accumulate somewhere?
No, they're not for storage. Okay, so everybody dumped this stuff in a burn bag and shoved it in the secret room. That's a violation of regulations.
But it also sounds like it would almost have to be purposeful. You know, if this was in a secret room.
Well, it was.
It was.
Just what are we supposed to do with these? They don't have time to shred them, dump them in a burn bag. We've got a secret room for them.
Well, also you can look at it as something, I'm probably making this up, but it's stuff we want to keep because there may be some useful information in there for our side.
Will we ever know what's in this?
They're going to declassify
according to the report, the burn bags include the classified annex to the John Durham report that includes the underlying intelligence he investigated.
Or appendix.
CIA Director John Radcliffe is expected to declassify the annex and send it to Senator Grassley, who will release it to the public.
Now, remind us what John Durham was investigating.
He was investigating the Russian collusion thing and really never really came to any interesting conclusions. I mean, the whole thing was whitewashed by everybody who touched it.
So all the people that are the ones that actually were involved in the creation of these papers, are they the whistleblowers that are supposed to be coming forward?
They may not be the creators. It may be the people that worked in the office that were aware of the documents that were being created.
We'll come back to this in just a second.
Folks, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. This is CCTA Wake Up Call.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? People in the community that love this country to protect individual liberty and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Thank you again for listening to our sponsors and supporters. We're coming back, Pat. We're continuing with this.
Well, where were we?
Oh. We're talking about Cass Patel and the burn.
Well, I wanted to add one thing to the secret room. There are 12 thumb drives, and they're in the secret room too, and they're supposed to be off of Hillary's bathroom server. And those were hidden in there, and we don't know what's on those.
We don't know whether they were bleach bitted.
Yeah, the stuff that she bleach-bitted off the actual server. So we'll be interested to see what comes off of there, too.
I want to know what the secret room is if you have to press the panel like you see on TV where you, you know, a secret room that nobody knew about. It's behind the bookcase on the second level of the third room.
It was just a room that hadn't been assigned.
And I know we were aware that Comey had a room that had evidence that nobody goes in to get that evidence.
Right. He assigned the room to himself and nobody else could go.
The interesting part of this to me is there were people speculating that the raid on Mar-a-Lago, what they were looking for was a binder or folder that Trump had, which dealt with the Russia hoax, which would have incriminated the people who needed to be incriminated. And
including Obama.
Yes. And I wonder, again, we have no idea what's in this room or what's in these burn bags, but I really wonder if we're about to find a smoking gun in here.
I don't think there's a binder. I think their own paranoia created the idea that he had a binder, because before Trump left office the first time, he declassified all the Russia, declassified all the Russia hoax documents, but he left office immediately and the bureaucrats just didn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
If he'd had a binder with him, he would have released it, in my estimation.
Yeah.
So I don't think there is a binder. I think they were just paranoid. And they waited till he was out of town and then swarmed Mar-a-Lago to see what they could find.
Is this the same paranoia as the list of, what's his name?
Epstein's
list of people? No. The people exist, but they probably exist in 100 different documents.
And here again, another interesting point is Ghislaine Maxwell, is she going to get her, what does she want, clemency or immunity to
no,
speak
she
freely?
Wants, she won't get it.
Well, she wants immunity from certain prosecutions. I'm not sure what.
Yeah, I've read a couple different things, but it said she spoke freely to some investigators, but there was more that.
Did she have a trial or was it a plea?
I thought she had a trial.
Okay. All right.
Yes, I think she was found guilty of trafficking.
The interesting part of her story is the fact that she began her jail sentence in Danbury, Connecticut, which is a miserable place.
I think it's a miracle that she's still alive.
Well, that too, but And then she was transferred to this country club prison in Florida. So she's got some information somewhere that, number one, is keeping her alive, and number two, is keeping her in a very nice prison.
Thank you for that conspiracy theory, Mary.
My tinfoil hat is in the other room.
Is it? All right. Because it was a little tight before you took it off.
But again, more is going to come out with that.
I don't think anyone's going to be held accountable. I think that they're going to say immunity for Obama. And I mean, with all of the evidence that there was against Hillary Clinton, nothing happened. So I think it's maybe to placate those of us who want to have names named. But I think as far as accountability, there won't be any.
Well, the problem is the statute of limitations. This stuff is 10 years old.
But some things, Glenn told me that there were some things that didn't come under.
Well, if it's a conspiracy, you know better than me.
It has to be a grand conspiracy.
Well, I think running the country is.
It has to start 10 years ago and be able to prove that it was ongoing through the whole 10 years and that it hasn't ended yet. And so it's still within that period of the conspiracy so that it overrides the statute of limitations.
I think that would happen.
I think it does.
Yeah.
They're still talking about it on the news. And I mean,
But the chance of trying all of those crimes within the framework of one continuing conspiracy with that many defendants is a mammoth undertaking.
But
so I don't know that they would be willing to undertake that.
We're speculating here, of course, with tin hats. Are we expecting to get a conviction? Are we expecting to actually go to a trial? Or are we expecting to just expose information?
Well, we've exposed it. We want to see perp walks. That's what the right says. We want to see people go to jail.
What is the statute of limitations on Hillary and her private server?
Well, the Espionage Act, I don't think, has a statute of limitations.
So then she would be vulnerable.
She might be vulnerable. Jonathan Turley, the law professor from Georgetown, he says John Brennan is...
Vulnerable.
I think there's others, too. I mean, anybody that testified in front of Congress and lied and I think that's Brennan,
Comey,
I don't know, McCabe.
Clapper.
Comey.
Stroke.
Hillary. So there's right many that can get nailed with that.
Right. But,
and I think if nobody does a perp walk, that you're going to see people with torches and pitchforks. Because I think people want some sort of accountability for what we've been through with this.
The divisiveness that this whole thing has caused to the country, it has disrupted and injured everybody. It's not a singular case. And not to mention the hundreds of millions of dollars that have gone into the investigation and then the individual defense. Look what they did to General Flynn.
Yes.
And Pete Navarro.
But if we did get a conviction, how much more of a psychological split would be created? I mean, TDS.
Who cares?
Trump.
They created a split when they went after Pete Navarro, John Eastman. These were lawyers that were advising Trump at the end. Biden waived their executive privilege, and they convicted them and then went after their law license.
Yeah,
so
John,
they wanted to beggar them.
John Eastman was a professor at Chapman University. I think he was the head of their law department. He was a very respected individual.
Right.
And they worked very hard to make a mess. Yeah. And I remember when Trump took office the first time, he made the comment that he was not going to prosecute Hillary because he felt it would divide the country. Recently, he has made statements that said, I regret that I made that decision.
Right.
Well, and you talk about having an impact. It made Trump significantly less impactful, even though he wasn't positioned like he is this time.
Yeah.
With all the right people in place. But they wore him out, and he didn't get near as much done as he would have otherwise, even though he had some wins.
That's true.
Yeah, we
so he was, it was a wiped out presidency, and that was their
Paul
goal.
We can thank Paul Ryan for some of that.
Yeah.
Because when Trump first came in, Ryan was the head of the House.
Yeah.
And they refused to fund the wall.
And that was their, every chance he got.
Yeah.
And that was their goal. Their goal was to make him.
To neuter him.
Neutralize.
Impotent.
Yeah. Neutralize him. Yeah.
Yeah. And we shouldn't have that when we elect somebody. It would be nice if Congress respected the fact that we elected them and at least let some of their policies go through.
Well, right now, all their U.S. attorneys and some judge candidates are stuck in limbo. He's asked the Senate to not go on recess and keep voting until these people are approved. I was listening to talk radio on the way here, and Senator Mike Lee from Utah was on, and he said the only way to force the left to cooperate, the Democrats in Congress, is to keep them here during recess and make them keep voting when they'd rather be somewhere else. He says, because otherwise we're conceding. And we come back in September, and we've got this huge backlog. He said right now we have a backlog of 150 people. We've got this huge backlog, and it takes forever to catch up. And the longer, he said, it doesn't affect the left, because when the U.S. attorney, let's say a U.S. attorney doesn't get approved from the left, the acting guy is already a leftist. So nothing changes. But if you don't approve your Republican guy, the acting guy is a leftist.
Well, this is an indication of the ridiculous role the courts have taken in our government. They were not meant to take the powerful role that they have assumed. They are way out of their lane. And we were talking about that with the Planned Parenthood thing.
Well, let's take it down to a basic level. If there's this level of weaponization in the court system at the highest offices with the deep state or whoever is involved, what could they do to me? You know, what could they do to me? We don't have the resources to fight the government. So how many people have shut up? And Glenn and I have discussed some of the people that will end up being scapegoats, because there will be people who will maintain, I was doing what I was told to do.
Well, you should have answered that question when you watched J6. They did all those J6 defendants parading on Capitol grounds. They end up in prison for how many years? They end up held in jails with no civil rights, way past the statute of limitations for a misdemeanor. They just did away with those because of COVID.
Well, I just think it's scary for the
individual.
Yes.
Yeah, our rights were not being protected under Biden. It's questionable whether they'll be protected under Trump, and that's not a good direction to be going in.
So how do we fix it?
We keep voting for the people that we think will attempt to correct it.
And how do we How do we fix the media?
We don't. We just let them become irrelevant.
Stop watching them.
Let them become irrelevant.
Because somebody was making fun of the protest in favor of Colbert, and only 20 people showed up. And somebody's comment was, "Well, how stupid are these 20 people?" and, you know, he says, if you want to really do something to Colbert, turn on your TV. He needs viewers. Turn on your TV.
Yeah.
That's more than I thought he had. 20.
Well, he came down. He had like 9 million or something when he started, and he's down to 1.2.
Yeah. They're being paid to watch. So
we miss Johnny Carson and Steve Allen. That's all. And not everybody's old enough to remember Steve Allen.
All right, folks, I think we've just about run out of time. I hope we didn't bore you in the last segment or confuse you. Thanks for staying with the CCTA Wake Up Call. We've had a good time, and you have a wonderful week.